Well, again, it's good to be with you.
Start the recorder.
Yeah, it looks like it's moving. It's good to be with you, and we sure appreciate the opportunity. We don't realize how you may not realize how important a church family is until if some of these guys that get stuck on TDY or whatever they call that, you get thrown out in the middle of nowhere, and you don't have your church family for 6 months or whatever. You start to appreciate having a church family. It really is important. So we want to thank you for having us back and especially adopting us completely. We were orphans there, and we've always been around, hanging around like the dog that never leaves. But we sure appreciate you. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to run all over the place tonight. So Proverbs chapter 3. In Taiwan and also in Vancouver and Surrey and Burnaby and then Ferndale, all the different places where we meet. When I was young, you thought you really had something to show people. And the older you get, you find out you got nothing. It's just this. Now, it doesn't look fancy and it doesn't make people think that you're important to them. But like I'm teaching my people now in those several cities, a donkey could read this and people would be saved and grow in the Lord. So it's the Word of God. And once you get that straight, then you're not dependent on people and it puts it back on you. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to have anybody standing with you. It's just, if you're born again, you will come to the Word of God. That's another thing we've learned. But before I start rambling, let's pray and we'll get into God's Word. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for this church. And Lord, right now we pray that you take complete control. Lord, I reckon my flesh dead and I yield to the new man. And I pray that you take control and use your Word. Lord, bind my mouth and help me not to say the things I'm not supposed to. And only lift up and encourage and tell people your Word. Help us to focus on it. Apply it to our lives. Lord, we can hear it all day long, but if we're not going to do it, it's absolutely worthless. So help us to submit to you, obey you, and realize you love us so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 3, the one most of us learn when we first get saved, and a lot of the kids learn, you know, before they can even actually speak. Our daughters were quoting this to us before they could even really pronounce the words very well. We had to memorize it. Verse 5, Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord when it's easy. Trust in the Lord when it's going your way. No. In fact, that's when you don't really, when you're having it easy, you don't learn anything. Look at that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay, that's the first step. The second step, you can't completely trust in Him if you're following Him. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, do we get in a lot of trouble with that, don't we? Every day when we do any kind of work, when you want to go to the grocery, drive the car, whatever, there's a procedure, right? A diesel, you turn the key and wait a couple minutes or whatever, and then you put it in reverse, pull out. There's all these steps that you automatically do. But you realize from the minute you wake up, you kick into autopilot. And you're leaning on yourself. The body is set up, and this world is set up, where we're automatically pushed into doing our normal. Do you realize how many things we do just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 every day? The older we get, the more we get locked into that too. You move the toothbrush on the counter, toothpaste holder or whatever on the counter of the bathroom, and anybody over 50 is going to say, "What's going on here?" You know. People under 50 don't even care if there is, you know what I mean? But the older we get into, sometimes I play games on some older folks. I'll just move their candy bar just this far, like their Reese's cup on their table, and they'll come in and go, "Something's different here." You know, we get so pro, I'm not picking on old people because I'm there already, but I'm saying we get stuck from the minute we wake up, we go into automatic and we trust our own mind. And then we'll flip on the radio or the television and they'll tell us and we'll believe what they're saying. And then you see how far off? Our life in this flesh is absolutely programmed to push you into sin and away from the Lord. I used to think it was, oh, we're not going to go out and sin. We're not going to go out and do. The minute you wake up, you kick into automatic and you do all these things and you never thought about, well, maybe the more you trust yourself, the less you trust Him. And His whole goal is to drive us to where we trust Him and relax and love Him. Okay? Lean not unto thine own understanding. So many times you'll be fooled Every decision we make, I make decisions all the time. Should I buy this product or that? First, is it a need or is it a want? If it's a want, forget it. And if it's a need, I'm still going to wait until it's a need, like right now, like a flat tire in the middle of the road, before I'm going to spend money. That's just how I am. But most people say, oh, I like this or I feel that. People in our church, I didn't realize this, but the folks that come to our church have zero ability with money control. I found out I taught a simple thing, need, want. That was like a revelation to even some of the adults in their 50s. They never understood that, oh, sometimes they just watch what's on television and I want to be happy, I need to have this. So they go out and buy it. That's crazy. And then they come and show me, I'm in so much debt, I can't. I'm like, oh, well, why'd you need this? Well, I didn't. One lady, she's 50, just 51, I think, Celia, came up to me, and was a single mother and raised her own child and all that stuff. And she came up to me after the thing and said, this has changed my life. I never even knew, because she was a shopaholic. I got two ladies that were shopaholics. They couldn't feel okay with themselves until they spent money at the mall. So I'm not picking on women, okay? It's easy, but I'm just teasing. We do it all, and what do? Every day we do what we want to do instead of what the Lord leads us to do. And here's what happens. I'm not picking on anyone or any sin. What I'm trying to show you is when you're leaning on your own understanding, you're absolutely blind to the spiritual need of others. That's why we can go and do all the things we do, and we don't even think about that person sitting there that's smashed and miserable. There's something I call radar, spiritual radar. The more you're dead, the more the new man controls you. It's almost like having a satellite dish on your head. And you can just tell when someone is willing to listen. You're sensitive to others' needs. We're so busy about getting what we need. Do you ever use a list? Does anybody here use a list? I use lists, but the sticky note things, but then I lose them. Or I'll find them stuck inside of a page of my Bible somewhere. You know, oh, that was really helpful. It's a month old. I lose the list. So I started writing on my hand, but I can't read that because of all the wrinkles. So it's just a really bad thing with the memory. But we'll go and do what we need to do. You have your list, okay. We walk right by the lady that's sitting there that just got an abortion, that's crying, and you don't know why she's crying. You're like, you don't even notice she's crying. You walk right by the person at Walmart that's sitting on their trunk, miserable fight, just got in a fight, and their person strolled off and they're standing there. We don't have to make them come to our church, but just a little love. And if you show just a little concern, you'd be surprised how many people will talk to you like you're their best friend if you just start it. My one daughter, Bethany, I think a lot of you know her. She's a lot like I was before I was saved. She doesn't like people. Okay, so she never talks to anyone. So she'll come into even our church. She'll come in and sit down in the corner and not say a word. People assume when you don't say anything that you must be angry or you're stuck up. That's not it. You're scared. And then they don't come and start it. So this person thinks they're stuck up or arrogant. So pretty soon you have all these divides where people won't talk to you. It's crazy. I said, Bethany, watch this. It's magic. Just go up and say hi. That's all you got to do. Well, I don't know what to say. They'll say something. Say the weather. Who cares? Just say something. And she found out. She goes, that really works. The Bible says a person that wants friends must show themselves friendly. Now, what I'm getting at, it's all this is coming from right here. When you walk in your flesh, and in your flesh has one desire, itself. Itself. Well, if I praise the Lord that He didn't walk in the flesh, because He would have, if any of us were walking in our flesh as the Lord, we would have incinerated this world like He's going to do later and started from scratch. That's exactly what I would have done. Especially when Pilate's slapping him, you know, mouthing him and challenging him. Who are you and all that stuff? It's just like, that's it. That's how much He cared about us. If He couldn't see through the embarrassment and the shame, that's a problem we have. We walk so much in our own flesh and so much in our own needs, which there are many. But you know what? The more you try to fill your own need and get your business done and ignore others, you'll never get that stack finished. It'll never get completed. He'll make sure of it. Have you ever literally taken this to heart and cared about someone else? You do it and you come back and somehow or other, that stuff you needed to get taken care of got done. I'm telling you, it works that way. You that tithe, have you ever tried to draw out and budget? It doesn't work. Every year we spend thousands of dollars more than we get in. Every year. And we don't waste money. How does that happen? When I punch in the numbers of what came in and what went out, it's always about $6,000 more went out than came in for the year. Now that would be great if, but I don't know how that works. How does that work? I guarantee if I start pinching and stop giving and stop doing, pretty quick, the natural laws would come back into existence. I'm not trying to bribe you into anything. I'm telling you, this literally works. If you reckon your flesh dead and start looking for the needs of others and take care of their emergency needs, people that need help. One lady that was here for years, when we lived here, I was in the laundry. You know, you pop the quarter in and all that stuff. But you got to wait forever. So I'm just sitting there, and there was a lady sitting there, and I think, well, here we go. It's hot in here because it's super hot. All those washers and dryers, it stinks, it's nasty, it's hot. And I said, it's nasty in here. You want a Coke? And she's like, that lady ended up coming to church here and staying here for years until she moved away. Just from a simple conversation. She was already saved. I'm just trying to give you an example of it. Sensitive to others. I know this isn't fun. This isn't what they, hey, you want to be prosperous? You want to be blessed? No. I want to be blessed at the judgment seat of Christ, not down here. People can smell love on you a mile away. They can also smell self-centered. You ever watch a show or a movie? And they always have a villain or a self-centered little brat. Usually it's a girl. I catch some of the stuff Becky and the girls watch once in a while. I walk in the room when they're watching something and I'm like, yeah. But there's always this nasty, really supposedly beautiful girl that's a witch, destroying everybody else. And she always gets it in the, you know, always smashed and broke and all that. We're all happy. But the point is, it's a true principle. Verse 5 again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. Now add this on. Quit trusting yourself. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. We need to stop thinking about ourselves and what we want. And number two, the next step that's better but still not right is when we think about, let's do something spiritual but to be seen, or spiritual that will prosper us. Here's an example. We see somebody that's wealthy. Oh, all of a sudden I want to witness to them. Now, I don't ever think like this, but I'm just trying to imagine. Oh, here's somebody that has money. I've heard preachers say this. Go win the rich. I don't care. I don't even know how to know. The people that look like they're rich are usually in debt up to here anyway. So what's the point? Who cares? If they're breathing and they still have a pulse, I'm going to talk to them. But here's what I'm trying to say. First, you worry about yourself, and then all of a sudden we get spiritual, but we have ulterior motives. That's not right either. It should be their soul is going to hell. I'm not going to twist their arm. I'm past that. When I first met you, I was that kind that would twist their arm. Not really twist your arm, but bug you until you either ran away. I don't do that now. I would just wear you out, and you'd finally come just once to get that kind of thing with a widow praying. Okay, finally, give her what she wants. She won't leave us alone. That's how I used to be, because I thought I could talk people into being saved. Now I understand it doesn't work that way. But we still need to be sensitive, and we still need to have love. Okay, now let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm trying to get us away from trusting ourselves. I'm telling you, we're programmed from the moment you wake up in the morning. You've got this schedule, and everybody from school-age kids all the way to retired. Even when we're retired, half the time you're more busy. You're busier when you're retired than you were before. I hear people all the time saying, I'm retired, now I got more junk. How did all this stuff get done while I was still working? Everything breaks and nothing works right and, you know, all that stuff. They're amazed. How did I get all both of those things done? Anyway. Psalm 119. Get away from trusting yourself. If you trust yourself, you're going to be in big trouble because we're headed into dark clouds. Can you tell? We got Mo, Larry, and Curly for the next election. That's literally, I'd rather have them than the three we have. literally, they would do less damage than where we're headed. They have one enemy. Gore and Hillary said way back, fundamental Christians are insane and a poison and a cancer that needed to be taken out. Now, that's not the literal words. They said we're nuts. We belong in camps to be reprogrammed. Okay? So we're heading into dark clouds. You can't trust yourself. You can't lean on yourself. And the other thing is, quit trying to take care of your own needs. Start looking to others. I promise you it works. Absolutely. Every time, I don't want to get into all the stuff that happened to us the last couple of years, but every time it was really dark, I would turn around and tell the church, we're going to do something for somebody. Because, in other words, if you're going to smash us, we're going to help somebody in spite of you. Okay, Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled, verse 1. Undefiled in the way who walk, how? In the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him, with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Now let me stop right there for a second. Psalm 119 is one of my favorites. It's really, really long. I think it's the longest thing in the Bible, chapter in the Bible. But every verse is about the Word of God. Did you know that? You probably already knew that. Every verse, look, it's called different things, testimony, statutes, precepts. Every verse of the longest chapter, book, I guess chapter in the Bible is about God's Word. Let me see. So how much do I want to trust myself? The biggest problem we have is we think we're right. Did you know the Bible says in Proverbs several times, we always think we're right. Have you ever been in an argument when somebody says, I know I'm wrong, but I'm still arguing? Nobody ever says that. Husbands and wives. If you've ever been married, they never think they're wrong, and neither do you. And another fact I've learned recently, not from Becky, but from reading other stuff and studying, when someone's in emotion, their logical thinking is shut off. You might as well, I always thought if you just keep pushing and pushing. Real important. When people get into emotion, and I'll prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt, emotion kills your thinking ability. Here's some quotes. Love is blind. Anger is too. Lust is also. Any emotion shuts off your logical thinking. So when you get in an argument with someone, and this is good for witnessing, I've learned this too. When you're witnessing with someone and they start to get any kind of anger or emotion, just back off. Let them sit. Let the Holy Spirit cook. This is going to help you husbands and wives. When there's an argument, take at least an hour. Drop it. Go away. Maybe the next day. The solution's right there and you'll both be able to see it. But when the emotion kicks in, you have your side, she has hers. And I have always just dominated over, you know, all the facts. All it does, it puts more emotion into their system and they can't see it. Try it. Husbands especially. Women usually don't do that as bad. Men are the ones that, we think words are going to fix it. You're insane. If you haven't figured that out yet, words don't fix it. Okay? She's got to see the blood before she's going to forgive you. No, I'm just teasing. Okay. Now, the Word of God. Back to the Word of God. Get the Word of God. Now, we can understand it. Now, the one thing I want to hit here is knowledge puffeth up. You need to know the Word of God. You learn it here. You see it. You read it. You have the church. You have it all the time. But if you don't put it with the wreck, the flesh is dead. Knowledge with the flesh means you get arrogant. Talk to a Calvinist or argue with a Calvinist. They use words this long that are not in the Bible in a circle and they think they're right. They're sitting there the whole time. They're making a fool out of themselves. Okay, I don't mean just them, any of these people, especially them. They think they have a lot of knowledge. What they did was they learned a whole lot of man's garbage. Okay. Knowledge puffs up. So what if you can outdo someone, a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon or a charismatic or whatever these nutty religions are? So what if you can use the scripture to beat them? That is not soul winning. That's called debate class. It's in pride. It's showing off. If your heart and you're sensitive, remember the radar? When you have radar up, go to Walmart right over here. It's just on Towers right there, right? Or wherever, yeah. It's whichever direction. It's out there somewhere. If I can see the street. It's close. Go to Walmart and just walk through the parking lot. I've never seen it more than here. There's people sitting out in their car, talking, sitting on top of the car, smoking, sitting around, gabbing, kids running around. Just from their car to the door is probably someone you could even hand a tract to. They're bored out of their mind. Becky does it all the time. She hands out much more tracts because she has a purse. She's loaded all the time. I always go by and get them from her. But there's always opportunities to tell people. We're so busy going, we do this. The bigger your city gets, the more you put blinders on. Have you noticed that? Say hi to someone in New York or LA. They think you're crazy. They do. Because they're all just doing their thing. All right. 119, a little farther down. Verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. How are you supposed to keep his precepts? Diligently. We diligently find our way to the table for supper. Don't we? I very diligently find my way to the cookies. Always.
Amen,
brother. Amen. I'll always have my asthma medicine and some kind of junk food. Always. Diligently. I won't leave the house until I have those two things. I get hungry. Because if I get hungry, I get mean, if you can believe it. If I get hungry, I can't help it. That when it starts to burn, I'm going to kill something. I got to eat. I just have to, it doesn't mean meal. I just something, a hot tamale, one of those little candies. Something's got to go down. Now, I diligently don't leave the house. I never leave the house without my asthma inhaler. An asthma attack can get you killed quick. But do I diligently seek and try to obey God's word? Do I diligently care about other people? You wake up in the morning, you care about yourself and the list. I'm not picking, it's what we all do. I'm trying to say what God wants us to do is learn. First you learn. But guess what? Have you ever had a drain that didn't drain? Especially like in a basement, because it's usually they don't put enough pitch in the pipes in the basement, older houses, and that stuff will slowly, so all the heavy stuff settles out and settles out and settles out, and then the water lays in there. And have you ever let your traps in your toilets or whatever dry? If you're gone like a month or something, or don't use a bathroom for a month, that trap will dry. Smells pretty bad, but a clogged drain is nasty. My daughters are famous for clogging the toilets, and then they leave them that way. So you just come strolling in, it's dark, you sit down, you use the restroom, you hit the toilet, next thing you know, there's a waterfall! Stuck drains are nasty. Here's what I'm trying to get at. We receive God's Word. We're supposed to be a conduit to others. He's not giving us His knowledge for us to sit back and say, oh, bless me some more, Lord, bless me some more. Or are you going to... Remember the guy that tore down the barns to put more stuff in? Instead of making sure it got out? Dead. We receive God's Word to grow, but to grow for what? To grow, to keep growing? And no, to grow, to give. Proof? Let's see. The Lord. 11. What'd they do? Gave. Didn't they? And if they would have given, and those, like if Paul went to all these churches, Galatia, Ephesians, oh, here's the truth, okay, alright, now you sit down and God bless you and you have a good old time and see you all later and, it'd be dead right there. We wouldn't even... Do you realize you're saved because someone else kept giving down the line for 2,000 years? I don't mean money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spiritually growing and caring about others. You would not be here if someone didn't tell you. No one's going to hell if we get lazy. But my point is, do you want to be blessed? Pastor Wilkinson helped me with this a lot.
I used to think people were going to hell unless I got to them. Now I realize that's not the ball game. The ball game is God will get to all of His children. Do you want to be the one He gets to use and be blessed for? Or are you going to sit down and suck your thumb and let somebody else be blessed and have the fun?
Do you get the shift? You're born again, you can't lose it. They're going to be saved, He's going to get to them. The only question is, do you want to be the one that's faithful and obedient and sensitive? Look, when you lead someone to the Lord, it's not to put a mark in your thing at all. It's to see the fruit. I probably shouldn't use this illustration. I think it's safe. A husband and wife that get married, a couple that get married, but they cannot have children. Do you know what they want more than anything on the planet? Exactly. They'll spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. When you're born again, you're supposed to bear fruit. It's natural. But we learn, because we get self-centered, we don't bear fruit. You're not going to be happy. People that have kids, sometimes we want to sell them, of course. We want to get rid of them because they give you so much grief. But if you could back up and just look at a couple that cannot and they want one so bad. Just like the Bible says, a womb, a barren womb, those six or seven things that can't be satisfied, that can't be. If there's a couple that can't have children, you're born again to bear fruit. You don't bear them, but you are the messenger. When you leave, I told our church in Taiwan, or in Canada, as soon as you see one person saved because of what you've done, I'll never have to tell you anything again. You're like a ravenous dog. You will. And that's true. The people in our church were so timid and so scared. There's so much pressure in Canada. Canada actually says you go to jail if you read the homosexual verses. Did you know that? There's a preacher up there in jail now for that. You just read the scriptures against the perverts and you go to jail. That doesn't stop us from doing it because someone has to report you. Nobody's reporting us so far. Okay. Last thing I want to get to here. Let's see what time it is. Okay. Got a couple minutes. If you get sensitive and love others, you'll never stop. Try it. Try it once. Care about someone once. Not outsmarting them. Not out-doctrining them. Love them. Love. It's simple. They got a flat tire. Okay, I'll haul you down there and we'll get a tire. Simple. Turn on your radar. This week, between now and Sunday, if you turn on the radar and reckon your flesh dead, the Lord will have somebody standing there dying of thirst that just wanted your love, and it'll open up into the chance for them to be saved. It's simple. You don't do it anyway. He does it all. But you've got to care enough to try. Okay, last couple of verses. Verse 4, diligently. That's what I'm trying to get at, diligently. All that diligently. As hard as you sought to study in school, as hard as you sought for your goals, seek to know and practice God's Word. Not to outsmart someone. To love them. There's a big difference between me telling my wife where she's wrong or helping my wife by showing her. I can say, you didn't do that right, you didn't do this right, here's the facts and here's the directions, you didn't read the directions, and you did that wrong, and look how... Or, while she's doing something else, fixing the problem myself, according to the directions, and then when she comes back, she says, that's different. I say, oh yeah, well, what you did, you know, they said a little different. You see the point? Loving. Took my time and effort to do the thing instead of yelling at her. You see my point? I'm trying to get a point across. Love, seeking other people and showing love, breaks down their barrier, and they know you care. And they'll listen. Works. 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 Okay. Diligently. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. How praise, I wish it was that way. It is in the new man, but not the old man. Verse 6. Then shall I not be ashamed. I do not want to be ashamed any more than I'm already going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. I do not want to add to it. The judgment seat of Christ. He gave us the word. Can you imagine? Think of an excuse you're going to have for Christ right now, just for a second. I'll quit, I promise. What excuses are we going to give the Lord? We're going to stand before Him. Right, the rapture, we know about that, right? We're headed out, hopefully soon. When we get there, let me see. What excuse could we give Him for the way we've lived? What would you think? I mean, we're never going to be able to say it. We're going to be crying, sorrowful. But we should be thinking, if we want to justify the way we live now as self-centered and worried about ourselves and walking in our flesh and always wanting what we want, we better, let's put it, instead of just preaching about this long, far away rapture, put it right now. Put it down to right here. What excuse could I offer for caring about myself more than caring about the people I'm around? I'm trying to think of one. What are you going to be able to? I mean, the only way I can visualize stuff is it's right in front of me. What could I say? Could I say you didn't let me know? Remember when you were a kid and you got caught? I didn't know, or I forgot. Or forgot was my term. And my dad made a rule when I was about 6. Forgot means you automatically get spanked, because I always use that for everything. I forgot! Still got spanked. You couldn't say forgot, because he told you, you knew, you just didn't care. So I always say, I forgot, I forgot, I forgot. He said, look, forgot equals guilty, you're dead. I'm freezing. He tried to change it. What are you going to say to him? Can you say, I didn't know? Can you say I didn't know? Okay, hold on. I didn't understand. Can we say that? Could we say, help me? What would be an excuse we might be able to try? I didn't know. I forget that. How about if we're there, we can say, well, we didn't have as well as David and Jeremiah. Remember David and Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the great things we see in Scripture? Right? How many times have we heard, look how great they were, look how great they were, look how great they were. Do you realize we have something more than they ever had? We already know that. The new man, sealed, eternally saved, didn't have any of that. The new man in them, in us, they didn't have that. So we're better equipped. We've got a perfect Bible. It's not that we don't know. It's not that he's not in us. What are we going to say? Anybody have an excuse we could try? Oh, that's a good one. And that's exactly true. Distracted by the flesh. That's the only choice. Because if we're diligently in the new man, he never gets distracted. He never does wrong. But this thing, if it was possible, I would kill this myself just to stop the fight. Remember what Paul said? Oh, wretched man. But he says, thank the Lord. Now, good point. All of our sin is because we've gotten our eye off the ball and we're over here playing baseball with soccer rules instead of playing by the right rules. So it looks right down here. You know why it looks right down here? Because the world operates on all the lust and riches, lying. So they're so bad, we get a little bit better than that open stuff, a little bit better, and we look good, don't we? We go to work and we say, praise the Lord, we don't cuss. And we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't steal money, the boss can actually trust us, he knows we're never going to do wrong. So we look glowingly great compared to the other people. But the problem is that other people are not our standard. You know, in science, you have to have a standard, right? Look at your time real quick. Everybody look at your watch. I have 2 till 8. Somebody else have something different? 3 till? Anybody else? Look at it. This is important. I'm going to stop the time. I'll show you something. What do you have? 2 till? Usually everybody's in, but we have. What do you do? Anybody else? Somebody has a watch. Well, here's what I did in church before. I get people get up to tell me what time it is. Everybody's different. That's not a standard. There's a standard somewhere else. You go by what I operate in my life on is this. This is probably at least a minute or two off the standard. If you operate on what you see, so you're better than the world, but that's not your standard. That's not the standard. We're going to be measured
But if you only look down here, you're always, and the world gets worse. If you notice that the world gets worse, we get a little worse looking, but we're always comfortably better than them. So people say, boy, they're good Christians. They go to church twice, and they're not good. They're carried away. They drive now. People in hand, and they say, oh, you guys drive all the way an hour to church? Not us, but the members. Because everybody drives about an hour. We have a central location. You drive an hour to church? He has 4-hour services? My goodness, you guys are bored of this journey. And we'll say, oh, we are. We're not. That verse says not to be ashamed.
I do not want to be ashamed. Have you ever studied the wrong material for a test? One time in college, I got the wrong chapter. I studied, I had it memorized, and I got killed in the test because it was the wrong chapter. If you're learning off today's Christianity and how you're supposed to live, and you're judging better than the world, which anyone who's better than the world is about, that is not our standard. Our standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. And diligently obeying this, which means reckoning the flesh dead, having your radar up, and I'm not trying to get you to do anything except just be in the new man. No one has to measure up to anyone else. But if you're in the new man, you will bear fruit by accident. He'll do it. If nothing else, your family will get saved. Or at least not want to be around you. Okay? So what I'm trying to say right here, last, finally, not to be ashamed. I've got enough to be ashamed for. My sins are gone, but I've got enough down, wasted time and wasted life after being saved, where I operated on what I thought was better than my friends, better than the world. It's not going to cut it. Okay? How about we determine, if we're born again, to live like we mean it. And I don't mean try harder. You know I don't mean that. Living like you mean it is understanding you can't do it. You can't do right. Every day, reckon the flesh dead and yield to the new man. Study, read, pray, and then a big coating on the outside of that is love. And I don't mean phony love. Not this, how you doing, brother? Oh, right down the prayer request, okay. Okay.
What was that? Oh, yeah. There's a big difference.
Real love, here, and then I quit. Real love is you see a need.
Real love is just while you're talking, fellowship, just a minute, just hear somebody talk, somebody else says, oh, yeah, I got this problem. Without saying, you see how you can help fix that without you coming. And then you do it. And then you keep your ears open again. And if you're not, I got to get out of town, I'll be able to go out of the neighborhood, get over there, figure out a way, and I'll just take the wrong one. So, stuff like that. That's where the big sense of the results absolutely works. Absolutely works. Love covers the multitude of sins. Love never fails. Not being a phony love we hear and see on television.
If we can't love each other in this church, How in the world can we say we love God? That's a verse, by the way. I'm not saying we don't, but hey, let's not be ashamed. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the free gift of salvation that's found in the blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we realize you gave us everything, including the faith, the ability to repent. You did it all. You've done it all. All we had to do was be willing. We thank you that you broke us down. Lord, I thank you for the troubles and trials in my life, because the more trouble comes, the more we realize you do it all. Just like we sang earlier, only trust him. We just need to trust you and get dead serious about serving you. Not working in the flesh, not showing off, not trying to gain numbers, but just sheer, raw obedience to you. Learning your word, not in pride, but Lord, with love. Help us to be sensitive to the people we're around in church, But Lord, even more so with the ones we're around at work, our neighbors, our friends, help us to begin to show love. And as they then see true love, they'll give us the opportunity to bring up salvation. So Lord, I thank you for the free gift you've given us. I thank you that you leave us here on the earth for the specific reason to be used to bear fruit. Lord, we thank you that you never give up on us. I pray that you bless each person in this church. Lord, help us to grow close to you. And as we grow close to you, we will of necessity grow close to each other. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.